You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians. We thank the Lord for the privilege to have been here these days. We appreciate all your kindness that you've shown us, all the good food that I'm carrying away from here in me, and we thank the Lord for everything that you have done. And of course, it's always a joy to be around my best friend. Him and I don't have to talk. We very seldom ever talk. Every now and then, if we have something to talk about, we'll call one another. But we don't have to. Our wives talk every day. And we can overhear them, and we know everything that's going on. So we just sort of stay in the shadows. But I do thank the Lord for his kindness in allowing me to be here. Well, we want to bring a concluding thought tonight. We have been preaching on various and sundry people in the Bible who had a relationship with a tree, and preaching on the subject of being rightly related to the tree. We brought some thoughts on Adam and Eve. They found themselves behind a tree. It was a tree of the fallen. Elijah found himself under a tree. It was the tree of the fainting. And David found himself like a tree. It was the tree of the fruitful. We appreciate the Lord helping us last night when Zacchaeus found himself up a tree. And it was the tree of the favored. Well, I'm glad that the day God treed me. And I thank him for it. Of course, we have the option tonight. We could go to the Revelation and see John the Beloved. He found himself by a tree. It was the tree of the forever. But we certainly would not want to overlook Galatians chapter number 3, where Christ found himself on a tree. And it is the tree of the finished. The tree of the finished. It is the Easter story that began at Christmas. I was thinking again today that maybe I have, from time to time and more times than I want to admit, lost the wonder of the man, Christ, on a tree. I probably shouldn't have, because it messed me up worse. I went and looked up the definition of wonder. And it is defined as a continual feeling of surprise because something is beautiful, unexpected, and unexplainable. I wonder tonight if you find yourself continually being surprised that Christ would die for the likes of you. The wonder of it all. So much has been completed by Christ's death on a tree. It's been expressed many times in songs. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Love grew where the blood fell. One of my favorites is, I'm not going to hell. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I'd like to expound tonight Paul's thoughts on this great finished work of Christ on a tree. I am here to tell you tonight, to embrace Calvary is to get much more than missing hell and getting heaven. If it's all you got tonight, you're going to miss hell and get heaven. You got took. It's much bigger than that. Much bigger than that. He says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ on a tree, the tree of the finished. Pray tell, what else did he give me, preacher, other than missing hell and getting heaven? I see from this text tonight in Galatians that he freed us from a self-effort tonight. A self-effort. I notice there is the self-effort of salvation. He doesn't want you to do anything to start it, continue it, or conclude it. He said, I done it all. Where at? At Calvary. Christ on a tree. He says in chapter 3 and verse number 2, this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit. That little word Spirit is the quickening breath of God. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? By something you did? Or was it by the hearing of faith? I was in a meeting some time ago, in a camp meeting, with a dear gentleman, and I noticed this morning that he had a little quote on Twitter. He says that he was confident that man's salvation did not begin at regeneration, but it began when by his free will act he put his faith in Christ. I wanted to respond to him and tell him I didn't know a dead man could do anything. Apparently, that's what Paul thought. He said, did you receive the quickening breath of God by something that you did? Or was it that God quickened you, and with that quickening, he created faith in you? Freed us from the self-effort of salvation. Christ accomplished it all on a tree called Calvary. It was finished at Calvary long before it was ever done in me. I heard not long ago of an old preacher. Somebody asked him, when did he get saved? What would you say to that tonight? Oh, it was on June such and such at this place. That's not what the old preacher said. He said, I got saved about 2,000 years ago at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday outside of Jerusalem on a hill called Golgotha. He said, when he cried out, it is finished. He said, I was as much saved then as I am now. How come? Christ saved us tonight from a self-effort of salvation. He said, I did it all. But not only does our text tell us tonight, preacher, you mean to tell me I got more than missing hell and getting heaven? Oh, it's much bigger than that. Oh, I don't want to lose the wonder of it all. I noticed that his work on Calvary freed me not only from the self-effort of salvation, but it freed me from the self-effort of sanctification. He says in verse number 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? He said, if you were saved by the quickening breath of God, God breathed life into you. If that's how you started, How do you think you're going to continue? He said, are you now made perfect? The only way you can go to heaven is if you're perfect. He said, are you made perfect by the flesh? You made perfect by some little old list of do's and don'ts? Is it because your skirts are too long, or because you throwed your TV out in the yard? No, it's because of the quickening breath of God that has done it. It's not in do's and don'ts. It is because of Calvary and the old rugged cross. Freed us from a self-effort of salvation and sanctification. But I notice in our text, he has freed us from a self-effort of struggling. Struggling. So many people struggle trying to please God. You know, the old Jews, they had 10 commandments, but then they had 6,000 sub-points under them. Made me think of Baptists. Most of the time, if it wasn't for this COVID, I'd probably be in maybe 50 churches a year. I can't keep up with all those lists. Every church got a different list. Are you listening to me? Some weeks I can, some weeks I can't. Some weeks I can go to the beach, and some weeks I got to go to the coast or either go out east. I can't keep up with it. Some weeks you can wear your pants if you're a woman. Some weeks you can't. All kind of facets to the law. All kind of man-made things we've made up in our minds. Think God looks down on us and says, boy, I like that. That's good. It is my addition to Calvary. Self-effort, struggling. Well, what is the purpose of the law then? He says in verse number 24, he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Every Jewish kid had a slave, followed them everywhere they went if they were wealthy Jews, and they were a schoolmaster. That is the word that Paul uses here. And their whole job was to do two things. One of them was, their other one was, he says, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in Galatians 3:10, he says, if you keep the law, he said, if you got a list of do's and don'ts, he said, cursed are you. Yes. He said, if you break one of them, you've broke all of them. Right. Wow. He says, I have freed you from a struggle of trying to keep the law. You say, well, what in the world do I need to do to please Christ? Paul said in Colossians, let the word of God dwell in us richly. I need to be full of the word of God. And then Paul tells us in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That little word filled is a container that does not have a bottom in it. You must have the bottom kicked out of you. You to be emptied of your stinking self, and then the Holy Ghost can flow freely through you. Full of the word, full of the Holy Ghost. It's not full of my standards and my convictions. It's not cookie cutters, all of us are wearing jean skirts down to the ground. No! It is about being full of the Word of God and full of the Holy Ghost. Not seeing more of my religion. It's Christ on me, in me, and through me, and for me. Some years ago, I realized a deep theological truth that I could not live the Christian life. It was impossible. And so I quit trying it. I realized that there had only ever been one Christian in the whole entire creation. This is awful deep. And his name was Christ. He was the only Christian. And so I quit trying to be a Christian, and I just began to cooperate with Him, fill myself with His Word, fill myself with His Spirit, and He lived His life through me. Oh, it wasn't a struggle. I didn't have to get up and make sure I had done this and I had prayed this long and I had read this and I had done that and I had done what the brethren had done and what these brethren had done. No! He says, I have saved you on Calvary from a self-effort of your struggling. I'm too weak, but He is all strong. I can't, but He can. I'm not faithful, but He said He is. I can't stop from sinning, but He said He never did. I can't see what's ahead. He said, I've already planned everything that's ahead. Oh, what a key tonight that He has saved us tonight and freed us from a self-effort. I tell you what, I don't know about you, I don't speak for you, I wouldn't go out on that limb, but that's bigger than missing hell and getting heaven, huh? If some of you would get a hold of that, would I just, that point right there, you'd kick a back end out of your choir robe and you'd start resting, huh? But I notice in our text, Calvary, Christ on a tree. Not only did He free us from a self-effort, but He forgave us from sin's excess. The demands of the law and forgiveness tonight, He says in our text, verse 21, He says, is the law then against the promises of God? He says, God forbid. He said, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. If you could be righteous tonight by keeping a list of do's and don'ts and standards tonight, I wonder sometimes if He watches some of us with our little list and He says, man, I wish I'd have done it like that. That's the way I should have done righteousness. He said, I didn't do it like that. But He tells us, in Matthew 5:48, He said, be ye perfect, even as my Father which is in heaven is perfect. His demands tonight, in order for you to go to heaven, you got to be perfect. I was wondering tonight, how's that working out for you? Being perfect. He said, you will go to hell tonight if you're not perfect. Wow, what a demand. Oh, gracious preacher, I know I've got a little list. I've got some standards. I try to keep up with them, but I don't see it making me perfect. Well, but that's the demands. He said, you must be perfect if you're going to ever see me. Yes. Just for a second, I know I've done this before, but I thought I'd do it again because I know I got some of you on the ropes even thinking about such a thought as being perfect. If you've got your Bible there, just for a second, Hebrews chapter number 10. I love this little verse. It just knocks my, hey, it's bigger. It's bigger than missing hell and getting heaven. Oh, yes. Now, look at verse number 14, Hebrews chapter number 10. For by one offering, He has given us a list of do's and don'ts. No, for by one offering, He hath perfected for them that are sanctified. He perfected me. Where? At Calvary. Gave us from sin's excess. Old D.L. Moody was on a train with a Jehovah's Witness one day. We're back in Hebrews and back in Galatians, excuse me. And they were talking, sitting across from one another. And old Jehovah's Witness said, he said, you know, he said, you and I believe about the same thing. And D.L. Moody said, oh, no. He said, there's two letters in the alphabet that separate us. And he said, they separate us so much that those two letters are going to cause you to go to hell and they're going to cause me to go to heaven. Of course, the old Jehovah's Witness says, pray tell, what are they? He says, it's an N and an E. An N and an E. the Jehovah's Witness, he is all ears. He said, well, tell me, you mean an N and an E? He said, yeah. He said, your salvation is due and mine is done. It needs nothing to be added to it. The man's of the law and forgiveness. I was thinking about that. Christ dying on a tree in Galatians chapter 2. You know, I wouldn't argue with you tonight if you want to believe that Christ died for the world. I know there's verses that would lead you into that thinking. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I don't know about you. I ain't never gotten excited that Christ died for you. Ain't never done nothing for me at all. Matter of fact, I ain't never shed a tear. I ain't never shouted. I ain't never got happy that Christ died for you. Never. I wouldn't get you alarmed tonight if you say that Christ died for the church. Paul said that. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But I tell you, I really get excited when I think about what he says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved who? Everybody? He loved the church? No. He said he loved me. He said he loved me so much that he gave himself for me. Please forgive me. I hope this won't mess up your King James Bible. But whenever I see a bunch of personal pronouns in a verse like that, I cannot help myself. I have even gone to the point of going back and writing my name in the verse. Because I think the King James writer should have translated it like this. I think it ought to read like this. Tom Gillum was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, Tom Gillum lives. Yet not Tom Gillum, but Christ liveth in Tom Gillum. And the life which Tom Gillum now lives in the flesh, Tom Gillum lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved Tom Gillum and gave himself for Tom Gillum. It's bigger tonight than missing Hale. I'm asking you tonight, have you lost the wonder of that? Christ on a tree. The demands of the law. But I notice there's a demonstration of a lesson of forgiveness. He says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 6, for even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The Bible says that Abraham, when he believed God, God imputed to him his righteousness. For you and I, when Christ died on the cross, he put to my account everything that he is. And on that cross, he took everything that I was. He became everything that I was on that cross and put to my account everything that he is tonight. So I'm no longer what I was, but I am tonight everything that he is. And I shall be throughout eternity tonight everything that he is tonight. Oh, that's bigger. Justified through Calvary's blood. Oh, what a standing is mine. Paul said in Romans chapter number 8, he says he will not impute sin to a righteous man. How come? I have Christ's account in heaven. I have no more account. And it's a white as snow account. Christ has no blemishes on his account. So there is no account for him to impute my sin tonight because they're gone. So what in the world is he doing with my sin when I'm committing them? Please forgive me. This is my thinking. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father and he's confessing that sin to the Father while you're doing it. You said, if I believe that, I'd live like I wanted to. No, if you believe that while you were being stinking ugly or thinking filthy thoughts, he's confessing it to the Father, you'd run from it like a dog running from scalded water. Oh, Calvary's bigger. Took my sin and my sorrow, made them his very own. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the tree, and I bear them no more. That on the cross my burden gladly he bore, and bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. Have you lost the wonder of that? Oh, it's bigger. Missing hail and getting to heaven. There is the demands of the law and forgiveness. Demonstration of a lesson in forgiveness. But I notice there is the deliverance of the Lord by forgiveness. He says in chapter number 3, verse 13, Christ hath, interesting word, redeemed us. Means to buy somebody off a slave market. Buy somebody off a slave market. First time we come in contact with this word is in the book of Ruth, where Boaz was her kinsman redeemer. Do you remember that term, kinsman redeemer? This is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. If you're saved tonight, when Christ hang on the cross, he said, I became your kinsman redeemer. What? Kinsman redeemer. He said, before I died on the cross, I had to establish kinship with you. Wow. Is that not what John said? John 17, that we were given as a gift to Christ before the foundation of the world. He established kinship, so when he's dying on that old rugged cross, no wonder he's got me on his mind tonight. I'm family, I'm kinfolk tonight. Isn't that what his mama said? She said, let's call his name Jesus. For he shall save his, you could say, kinfolk from their sin. I love the hound out of that, don't you? I was thinking about that Ruth and Boaz story. Please forgive me. I have been told that that's why my sermons are too long, because I think too much. But often I see things between the lines. They're not in the text. I just see them in between the lines. But I was thinking about that Boaz and Ruth. You know, she's an old Moabitess. And the law said she had to go to hell. But grace said she could go to heaven. How come? Because she had a kinsman redeemer. I just pictured maybe sometime that maybe Ruth, shortly after they was married, maybe she told Boaz, she said, I just feel everybody looking at me. They know I ought not to be a part of the family. I'm old Moabitess, I know the law. Said I ought to go to hell. I can see old Boaz, he said, hold that thought there for a minute. I can see him going in the back room and digging through the closet and coming out of there with this long scarlet cord. He said, you remember my mama was Rahab the harlot. And he said, one day she let this scarlet cord out the window. And Joshua saved her because of that scarlet cord out the window. Said they didn't call her Rahab the harlot no more. The harlot was gone and all was left was Rahab. I love that, don't you, tonight? I often think about her. You know, she worked all her life, all the time in barley harvest. Maybe that first year when they were married, old Boaz raised up in the bed And she's got all the lanterns on in the house. And he said, what in the world are you doing? She said, they're starting barley harvest this morning. She said, I got to go to the fields and get the barley in. I can hear him now. He said, Lord God, he said, why don't you come back and get in the bed? He said, I own all of it, and so do you. He said, why don't you just rest and take it easy? Oh, isn't that what he's saying to us tonight? Instead of all your little struggles and making sure you got all your little T's crossed and all your little I's dotted, why don't you just rest tonight? He said, I have accomplished it all. Talking about Christ on a tree. But I see last of all in chapter 3 of Galatians that Calvary favored us with the Spirit. Favored us with the Spirit. I notice in verse number 3 there is the Spirit's position. He said, are you so foolish having begun? These three words are interesting. In the Spirit. Oh, we began by Him immersing us tonight in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost being immersed in us tonight. Oh, what a position that is. He says, we that have the Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're none of His. He said He's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption where we can call Him Papa, Daddy, because the Holy Ghost is living inside of us. Spirit's position. But I notice in chapter 5 of Galatians, there's the Spirit's pleasure. He says in verse number 16, that as I say then, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You notice he didn't say anything about keeping no list of do's and don'ts. He said, walk in the Spirit. How can I do that? Be full of the Word of God and full of the Holy Ghost. Why do I want to do that? He said, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would do. He has put the Holy Ghost inside of me. And when there's a war going on about what's right and wrong, the good Holy Ghost will be an umpire in my soul, and He'll blow the whistle. When you go out of bounds, no! He'll blow it before you go out of bounds. He's living inside of you. He will blow the whistle on you every time before you fall into sin. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, I'm talking about the Spirit's pleasure. But I notice in this text, hey, he said, I did all of that at Calvary. Oh, it's bigger than that. If all you got, you're going to miss hell and get heaven, you got took. You got took. I'm a-thinking you didn't get Jack. If that's all you got, I'm afraid you didn't even get that. Are you listening to me tonight? Oh, Spirit's position, Spirit's pleasure, but there's the Spirit's practice. He says in verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Again, he makes this statement in verse 25. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Paul mentions this Spirit thing. It's so much bigger than a list of do's and don'ts if you're going to fill yourself with the Word of God and fill yourself with the Holy Ghost. Because he says in one occasion, he says, walk worthy of the Spirit. Walk worthy of the Spirit. Got to be a worthy walk. I was interested in that word worthy. It is the word for a balancing scale. The old meat markets, various stores had balancing scales. They put a weight on one side, then whatever you were buying, they'd put it on the other side, and they would wait until it balanced. He said, walk worthy of me. He said, be full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, because he said, you want to put Christ on one side of the scale. You want to put you on the other side, and you want the scales to balance. Have you lost the wonder of that? He said, I accomplished that at Calvary. I have given you the ability to balance the scales. Wow. Another time he says to walk circumspectly before me. That little word circumspect is the word, it's awful deep. It's so theological deep, I hate even bring it up. The little word circumspectly is the word carefully, carefully. It's like walking on a picket fence, and there is a Doberman pincher on one side of the fence, and there's a Rottweiler on the other side of the fence, and they're jumping up and they're biting at your heels. How would you walk carefully? I hope. See, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of the Word of God tonight. He says, I have accomplished at Calvary the ability for you to walk carefully before me. Are you listening to me tonight? I'm talking about the wonder of Calvary. The Easter story that began at Christmas. I know most of you didn't write it down. Some of you do take notes. I see you taking notes. And I'm sure you have forgotten, because it has been 35 minutes ago that I told you this. And most people don't contain anything much longer than that if they don't take notes. The definition of wonder. It means a continual surprise feeling, because something is beautiful, unexpected, and unexplainable. Love what the songwriter said about it. The wonder of wonders as she looked on his face. That this little boy spoke the worlds into place. The stars and the moon shining bright on them. The earth and the sun created by him. The wonder of wonders as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate come down to earth. The wonder of wonders, she heard his cry, that this voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. Small hand she held in her hand so tenderly had made a dry path through the sea. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God became flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men, but the wonder of wonders is that he died for my sins. He made it all worthwhile. Great songwriter of yesterday, Al Smith. He came to Bob Jones when I was there. And Al Smith had a very traumatic life. He had all kinds of trials and emotional problems, physical problems. I asked him one day, said, Al, how in this world have you made it through so much that you've been through? I love what he said. He says, I have never lost the wonder of it all. I wonder if sitting right here tonight, you may have been in Holly Springs 10, 15, 20, 30 years. You've sit here sermon after sermon, some of the greatest preachers that have all ever walked in shoe leather. But you realize tonight, Calvary doesn't surprise you anymore. You've lost the wonder of it all. I wonder tonight if you're sitting here tonight and you've never had the wonder of it all. You've never seen that everything he did on Calvary, you should have been there and took it all. And yet, he took it for you. How could you know that tonight and not bow your stinking knee to him and say, oh God, have mercy upon me? It may be tonight You've never even saw the wonder of it all to start with. You've been in religion and you've seen it all over and over and over again. But I wonder if you've ever caught a glimpse of him doing it just for you. I don't want to lose the wonder of it. Christ on a cross. Christ on a tree. The tree of the finished. We're standing, our heads are bowed, preachers are coming.
Doug, that song, Calvary's Touch, you can do that or something else maybe on your heart. In these closing moments of this meeting, you be obedient to his voice. He has brought us under the shade of his tree in these days. And while we're here, you ought to mind him. You ought to mind him. Altar's open. You just listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Worship. Mind him. Thank him. He's telling you to do the right thing.
The crowd didn't know just what they had done. When they cried, crucify God's only Son. But they did not realize this was the Father's seed. He had come to bruise Satan's head, so Calvary had to be. From the beginning, God's plan was set in place. From Bethlehem to Calvary, God's purpose was grace. He drank from the bitter cup all the dregs of sin. When he cried, "It is finished," salvation began.
You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from
that touch,
wounds came grace. I stand.
You can be touched tonight. You can be touched tonight. There's a place for you at his feet.
For the wonder of
you can be
it
touched.
All, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
Oh, yeah.
This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what he did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from death to life.
For the wonder.
I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me. You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me. This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what he did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from death to life. You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
You know, God's eternal. He has no past. He has no present. He has no future. He just is, and he always is. He's eternal. Well, I want you to know the truth is Calvary doesn't have a past, nor a present, nor merely a future. No, Calvary is. Calvary is, amen. And the touch that touched my life for the first time years and years ago is just as fresh tonight, and it can be for you. It can be for you this night. Sing a little more. You mind the Holy Ghost tonight. You can tell him what you need. You can tell him what you want tonight. You'll find it at Calvary. That's where life begins. Life begins at Calvary. Sing it, Doug.
This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what he did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from death to life. You see, Calvary touched many things on that day. Mercy was crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory. For the wonder crucified, and from his wounds came grace. I stand in amazement. I rejoice in victory. For the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
Have you minded the Lord tonight? Are you enjoying the shade of his tree? Man, it's hot out there in the world.
It's brutal out there in the world. But just as a Debbie can get under Mama Hen's wings, you can get up under the shade of his tree and find shelter, find satisfaction, find security. You come to his tree tonight, you can find salvation. Oh my, I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God in these days together. Hallelujah. It's all about him. It's all about him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the good name of the Lord. Early in the morning, Brother Tom, Miss Beth will get up. They've done packed up, and they'll head down the road. They'll go, I think, in Mount Airy next week. And I think Arkansas is coming back up time or two. You be faithful to pray for them. Because I know they're faithful to pray for us. So we want to be faithful to remember them in prayer. Been a great week. Good days down at God's house. Because that's how it always is when his word is expounded, when his word is proclaimed. Amen. I blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, seems inadequate, but until you give us another word, we'll just use it. God, thank you for touching your man and touching us in these days, oh God. And Lord, that's all because of that tree they've been singing about, and Brother Tom's preached about tonight and these nights. God, you are the tree. We give you thanks. We give you honor. We give you glory. God, I pray you'd continue to pull and draw. Lord, I pray you'd tree. I pray you'd tree some folks around here. Oh, God. Lord, we who've already been saved, may we not lose the wonder. May we not lose the wonder of who you are and what you've done for us, oh, God. We again say thank you. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, don't completely smother them. But you speak to Brother Tom, Miss Beth. You go a-praying. Come Sunday morning, Lord willing. Looking for the Lord to speak to our hearts and our lives. You're at liberty if you've been touched by Calvary. Amen. Amen, brother.